Pete, welcome.
Hello, thank you.
And how about a greeting for all of your fans in America to start the show off?
Hello and welcome.
That's good.
Thank you. Well, come to my party.
We'll practice a bit more as the show goes on. And the reason we're here is because Pete has a brand new live album. It's entitled Pete Townshend's Deep End Live. And for the next hour, we'll be working our way through some of the great live recordings, like this one. From Pete Townshend's Deep End Live. First of all, Pete, how did the album come about?
It was a live recording made while we were videotaping the show. And it was a very lucky recording, really. We used a digital machine. Bill Price, who's the guy who engineers my records, did the sound for us. And we were amazed at how well it came out, you know, so listened to the stuff and were very pleased with it and played a few tracks on the radio to try and help sell the video. And it got such a good response, we decided to put some tracks off the record out.
Tremendous excitement, having listened to the album, and as we go through the tracks tonight, I'm sure that we'll be able to hear them. But an excitement in the audience as well, because you've got this 16-piece orchestra there helping you along, haven't you?
The show was done really at very, very short notice. I decided to do this show, this is November last year, I think, in Brixton, at the Academy Theatre, as part of a series of concerts to raise money for drug research. And but I'd committed about a year before, and I didn't quite know what I was going to do. And then I just hit on this idea to really indulge myself. And it wasn't so much having a big band, it was just I decided I wanted to have everybody in this band that I loved. And that's how it came about. You know, I started to go through the list, you know, I love him, I love her, I have him. And ended up with this really quite incredible band. And it was wonderful. It wasn't really a big band, it was just a lot of people.
Well, it sounds like you didn't have any trouble persuading the musicians that did take part in the Deep End show, and we'll find out more about who those musicians were and their contributions later on. And we're going to listen to another track in a moment from Pete Townshend's Deep End Live album. But first, let me remind you that this album party is brought to you by the jeans that shrink to fit you and you alone. Let's get back to the Pete Townshend Deep End Live album. Pete, the live album contains cover versions of both new and old classics, and including Robert Parker's famous Barefootin'. Tell us about that song. Your love, I'm sure, for American R&B comes in there.
Yeah, what I wanted to do in the show, and we did a long show, we did 2.5 hours, was just to play a lot of the songs that I really liked, which I was a bit doubtful about whether or not I could do them properly. I knew the band could certainly play them, but a lot of them were R&B songs, and Barefootin' has always been a favourite of mine. I suppose from the mod days, you know. It was a track that they used to play in the seedy nightclubs of 1963 and 1964, when black R&B was just hitting this country, which had such an incredible influence on people of writers of my generation.
It's interesting that The Who and The Stones and The Beatles in the early days covered black R&B and black Chicago blues songs, whereas their white counterpart bands in the States, like the Jan and Deans and the Fabians of the world, were still going for that very clean white music, weren't they?
Yeah, just shows what idiots they were, really, doesn't it? Covered also is a very polite way of putting it, because I think, you know, a lot of people feel that it was stolen, you know. What made it okay for the British, I think, is very subtle. There's a subtle difference. I think if Jan and Dean had taken an old R&B song, I think it would have been seen to be outright theft. Elvis got away with it, but only just. For the British, it was very different because we were so far removed, and I think what we were attracted to in R&B was that we felt, as young people, in a country that had just gone through war and everything else, we felt like a minority somehow. We felt like a minority, so we really identified with the blues because it was the music of a minority.
Well, I'm sure Robert Parker intended this sentiment in his song. So let's take our shoes off, because they can't smell our feet in America, and take our shoes off and go barefooting. House music, rock and roll there, Pete, with a tremendous horn section. What, a six-piece?
I think it was six-piece, yeah. It was a section put together by three guys who call themselves Kick Horns. And, yeah, they were great.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Well, that was Robert Parker's Barefoot in a cover, which is included in the new Pete Townsend live album. It's called Deep End Live, and we're working our way through tracks here at Abbey Road Studios with an album party on NBC Radio Entertainment. Now, Pete, it was just a year ago in this same studio that an old sparring partner and a friend of yours, Roger Daughtry, came by. And, or rather, you came by as a guest of his.
That's correct.
That's right, yeah. And he was presenting his new album called Under a Raging Moon, which includes a song that you wrote after the fire. And now on the live album, you've recorded your own version.
Uh-huh.
Tell us a little background about that song.
Well, it was a song I wrote for Roger, especially for him. He was putting an album together, and I was trying to find the right kind of song for him. And I can't quite remember the circumstances of it, except that when we rehearsed it for Brixton, I suddenly realised that one of the verses of the song was about the riots in Brixton. Actually, it comes back to me now. It was actually written about what was happening in Britain, race problems in Britain, in context of the race problems that were happening in South Africa at the time, and what was happening with Live Aid. And I wanted to write a song about something that Bob Geldof had said to me about. Actually, it was for somebody that worked for him that said that the concert, the big concert, the Live Aid concert, would quench the flames, but the fire would still burn. In other words, short-term relief, but there would always be a big problem. And as that was the event that had brought Roger and I back together that year, I just wanted to kind of write about that. And the song's special to me too. In fact, on the version that we did at the concert, I actually managed to, because it was in Brixton, I managed to get the word Brixton Inn.
Well, for those in America, Brixton is an area of South London. Tell us a little bit about that area and why you chose to play there.
It's an area which I suppose has suffered like Watts did in New York. You know, it had what we call race riots, I suppose. A very big Caribbean community. Very, very powerful voice. And a very, very difficult police-community relationship. I don't want to make judgments either way, except that, you know, I tend to side with the musicians, of whom there are an enormous number in Brixton, black musicians that I know. And I did the concert in Brixton simply because the theatre was there, actually. I mean, the Academy is a terrific theatre. And I booked to do the show before the riots. And in fact, it made it very difficult to run the show there, because it was at a time that was fairly tender. People were afraid to go there. When we were playing there, there was still a semi-curfew. I didn't pick it because it was a trouble spot, but it turned out to be the right place to do it for me. It felt right, you know.
Well, let's listen to the track. Although you've changed the lyrics slightly, the sentiments remain the same as they did when you wrote the song for Live Aid and for Roger. This is After the Fire from Pete Townsend's Deep End Live.
grows older, but nevertheless, the memory is smaller, the soul always yearns after the fire.
To the Fire, a live version from Pete Townsend's Deep End Live, and we're with Pete Townsend here in London at Abbey Road Studios. Now, that song was originally covered and recorded by Roger Daughtry, and as you said, you'd written it in part for Bob Geldof and the whole campaign behind Live Aid. But I know you've written songs for other artists as well. I wondered if you've got plans to carry on doing that for people.
I don't do it very often. I don't do it very often. I was working on a song for Tina Turner right the way through this current album that she's just put it out, and I didn't get it finished. And I did this year a song earlier for a soundtrack for a film called Playing for Keeps. It's a song called Life to Life, and that I wrote for Roger. Roger was supposed to sing it, and I ended up doing that myself. I don't do it very often, but I'm currently very keen on the idea of writing for other people. I'm working on an idea for a musical, and I'm hoping that what that will do is will provide me a vehicle both to do things for myself, but also to write for other artists. I write in a different way when I write for other artists. Less intense, less personal, less sort of introspect, I suppose.
Well, we'll look forward to the results of that endeavour in your career in the near future. And we'll hear more from Deep End Live in just a moment. Welcome back. I'm Mal Redding with Pete Townsend at Abbey Road Studios in London, and we're listening to tracks from the new Pete Townsend album, Deep End Live. Now, from listening to the album, it sounds to me like you had a very good time, Pete. You enjoyed yourself.
Yeah, I did. I did. I really enjoyed every minute of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. It was, I didn't have to do very much. I just, my friend Billy Nichols, who's here tonight, was one of the music directors on the show, and I gave him a list of, I think, probably about 50 songs that I wanted to rehearse, and he tracked down the records, he made tapes of them, he wrote the words out, he got rough chord charts if they existed, he gave them to the other music director, Chucho Merchan, who's a bass player, who's now with the Eurythmics. I first saw him playing with Mose Allison in London, and he wrote charts out. Then the band got together, rehearsed those 50 songs. I showed up a bit like Barbara Streisand, threw off my fur coat, and we ran through the 50 songs. And literally, the band never put a foot wrong. Wherever I put a foot wrong, I said, right, we're not going to do that one. And that was how we put it together. It was just the greatest fun I've ever had, because it was like all my favourite songs, my own songs and other people's songs, and I just picked whatever felt the most comfortable. And I'd really like to work like that all the time, except that, of course, it cost a lot of money.
One of those tracks, and one of your favourites indeed, was I Put a Spell on You.
Yeah, yeah. And as a, I've always liked it, the Nina Simone version. And that was the track, that was the version that we tried to emulate.
Some great solos on that, one in particular from David Gilmour, which you'll hear now. From Pete Townsend's Deep End Live, or from Abbey Road Studios in London, previewing some of the tracks from a great live album, this is I Put a Spell on You.
I put a spell on you. Because you're mine.
Freeman J. Hawkins, I Put a Spell on You, from Pete Townsend's Deep End Live. Now, Pete, That's the second cover by an American artist, Robert Parker's Barefoot. And you've enjoyed writing or enjoyed recording songs by other artists like that and playing them. And I wondered whether you'd ever been tempted to go and live in America and take part in that music scene.
Well, I mean, we took part in it for 20 years.
I mean, living there, you know, rather than going over on tour, perhaps living there amongst musicians.
I've never really been a never been a jamming person, you know. No, I haven't really ever considered that. I mean, I've worked in splendid isolation, really, in The Who, working for one band, writing for one band, writing for one singer, really, for Roger all these years. And the music scene in America, that kind of music, is one which is still tends to happen in clubs and in small places. And it's something where, you know, I think you have to live it for it to be real. There's something about living in a British city like London where, I don't know, those songs to me, taken out of that area, taken away from America and brought into Britain, they seem to have a new value and they seem to sort of be fresh and they stand up. I think, you know, the R&B scene, the black music scene with white artists covering black music in Britain has actually been something which has actually provided regular blood transfusions for British musicians, you know, mm-hmm. me included.
When we see you in interviews, TV, or when we hear you on the radio, a lot of the time people capture a side to you which is a very serious side, a lot of the time talking about charity work. And I think, maybe they think Pete Townsend's a very serious man. I wonder, there is a funny side to you. I wonder what makes you laugh.
Funny situations, I suppose.
Is this a funny situation?
I mean, in After the Fire, what is it? I say, I've got to stop drinking, I've got to stop thinking, I've got to stop smoking.
Hmm.
Maybe I don't know. I humour is very, very personal, isn't it? And I find it much easier to, I mean, I'm a pretty serious person, I suppose. I certainly don't laugh that easily. When I laugh, I laugh, you know, I kind of let go and laugh. Usually I raise my right leg, I don't know why. Like a spaniel, yeah.
It's a pretty funny right leg. Well, that's my curiosity out of the way anyway. I don't think you quite answered that one for me. But I'll find out whether there's a sense of humour in there one day. I'm sure there is. Now, one of the surprises on the album from Deep End Live is a song from the recent past, and that's a cover of the English Beats' Save It For Later. How did you end up with that version on the live set?
I just always thought it was a killer record. You know, I think it was the song that somebody said to me yesterday that it was the song that the English Beats split up over. You know, they were so upset that it wasn't a hit. I suppose it was the kind of most of their stuff had a kind of a reggae feel to it, because they were a mixture group, weren't they? They were a two-tone group, black and white in the band. And it was, I suppose, the most waspish song that they'd done, and it wasn't a hit here, and it should have been. It was just a terrific song. It is a terrific song, and I really wanted to do it. And they are pleased that I did it, and I'm pleased that they're pleased. It's just wonderful, wonderful song.
Well, it's certainly a different arrangement, and here it is from Pete Townsend's Deep End Live, Save It For Later. And we're at Abbey Road with Pete Townsend with an album party here on NBC Radio Entertainment. Save It For Later, another great cut from the Pete Townsend album Deep End Live, and we're having an album party at Abbey Road Studios in London, and there'll be more from Deep End Live when we return. Before, it's from your solo Empty Glass.
That's right, yeah. It's about the best song I've ever written, I think.
Do you feel happiest when you go into a studio, record a song, and then play it live and think to yourself, that was a good song when I did it in the studio. I'm glad I'm playing it again.
Yeah, sure. I mean, this song has always been a great, great favourite of mine. I'm immensely proud of it. And this was one of the songs where Barbra Streisand was particularly pleased with her orchestra. Because they just started to play it. The other one, I don't think it's on the album, is Harlem Shuffle. We played a version of that too, but we left it off because the Stones covered it. That also, when they started to play that, it really just tingles went down my back. But when the band started to play this, I just went into shock. I don't think I could sing. It just sounded so great.
Well, a lot of songs that you've done, like A Little Is Enough, haven't been played live. And I guess it begs the next question. Are you ever going to go out and do another solo tour like this?
This wasn't a tour, you know. This was just two shows in Brixton. And then we did one other show at Medem, and that was it. And I've done so many years on the road with the band, with The Who, I just don't think I could cut it, really. I mean, I do lots of other things now, and I'm happy doing what I'm doing. I miss America very, very, very much. And I'm not just saying that, I really do. And that's really quite terrible, because I don't really have that many reasons to go over there. And when I do go over there, I tend to work, you know, do radio and stuff. So I meet people in radio and I meet journalists, but I miss the people. But I really don't think I could do one of those 2-month bashes.
You're getting too old.
I hate hotels and airports and all that stuff. I know it sounds very cliched, but, you know, there's no reason why somebody like me has to keep doing that, you know. And if I'm starving, I'll be back. But, you know, I'm not starving.
Well, let's play the song that you enjoyed playing live yourself and recorded it for Pete Townsend's Deep End Live in Brixton on this album party from Abbey Road Studios, A Little Is Enough. From Pete Townsend's Deep End Live. Pete, Deep End, how do you get the name for a band?
Well,
like
it's actually from the White City film, when I suddenly realised that in the pool sequence, which is where the band sequences in the White City film are set, in a swimming pool, right above us and below us was a sign saying Deep End. it just seemed to me like such a great name for a band, you know. You can depend on Deep End.
You do have a sense of humour.
Oh, very much so.
Well, you know,
you're not getting any more of it.
Pete Townsend's Deep End Live, here in London at Abbey Road Studios. We'll be back in just a moment. We're back from Abbey Road Studios in London with Pete Townsend. I'm Al Redding. It's been great listening to some of the tracks from this new album, but I know there was another album coming out, and please unravel the confusions. There was another release that was due to come out about this time, this year, wasn't it?
Yeah, I had a compilation of demos, Scoop 2 you're talking about, I imagine, which was supposed to come out around this time. And there were some contractual problems with it, so we pulled it. It's convenient, really, because this album provides a double purpose. It raises money for the charity for which the concert was done in the first place, and it provides the musicians with a bit of pocket money. I'm the only one that doesn't earn any money out of this thing. I don't know what I'm doing here, really.
You are a comedian, you see. You do raise a laugh, obviously. Maybe at your expense, though. Obviously.
Self-immolation is my speciality.
So when was Scoop Volume 2, as it's called?
Hopefully now we'll get that out in the new year. I hope we will, because I'm immensely proud of it. It's demos made in hotel rooms on vacation, things written on the back of envelopes and cassette machines, and there's even a little section in it where I'm trying to get an idea for a song down, and my children are too noisy in the background and I lose my temper. This is when they were just babies, you know, so it's a long... And some of the stuff is fairly recent, some of the stuff is fairly old, and I like them because they allow me to show a side of the way that I work, and which I can't do in overtly commercial material.
You opened the show today with a song, Pimple Wizard, from the new album, and we're going to close out in a moment with Behind Blue Eyes. I'm curious, though, about how you feel to play Who songs as a solo artist with an entirely different bunch of musicians and friends on stage with you. What's the feeling like?
It feels very weird. When At the beginning of Pinball Wizard, I go digga-digga-digga-digga-ding-digga-digga-digga-ding, and John Entwistle doesn't go da-da and shake the stage and blow my ears out. It feels kind of weird. It's strange. When Roger did his shows in New York, he also played, I think, Pinball Wizard and Won't Get Fooled Again and Behind Blue Eyes. Well, I played all three of those tracks on the actual show. I think they're on the video too. I think we all feel, certainly Roger and I feel, a kind of double investment in that material. I don't feel it belongs to me, and I don't think he feels it belongs to him either, but we've talked about this. We feel it's okay. If we think it's okay, then you should think it's okay.
Well, I think I certainly think we do, because we're on the receiving end of both versions, and so we have a double choice, plus, of course, the originals. So let's listen to Behind Blue Eyes from Pete Townsend's Deep End Live. We're from Abbey Road Studios, and this is an album party on NBC Radio Entertainment. We began with a great Who classic there, Pete, Behind Blue Eyes. It's been a great pleasure talking to you again.
You too. Nice to see you again.
And enjoyable going through the tracks from this live album. I look forward to its success in America. For anyone out there that's in a record store, I think it's well worth going and buying. And there's a video to go with it too, isn't there?
Well, the video is actually a much more substantial piece of work, actually. It contains, I think, it's a 90-minute highlights of a two-hour concert.
Lovely. Well, I know you're working on an idea for a musical. You mentioned that earlier, and we've got Scoop Volume 2 coming out in the new year. No doubt a new solo album in the works?
The musical will appear as a solo album or something very close to a solo album first. I actually abandoned the solo album that I was working on this year when my father died. And I just can't really get back to grips with that now. It's sort of too painful. So I decided to go on to the next project, which was a musical. I'm writing a book. I'm thinking about doing some stuff for cable TV.
A busy man.
I'm busy as ever.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks again for joining us on this album party. Lots of people to thank for tonight's album party from Abbey Road Studios in London. First off, our trusty producer, Andy Denmark, with engineering here at Abbey Road by Jim Jones, Chris Blair and Peter James. Thanks go to Trinifold Limited, including Jackie Kirbishley and Nicola Joss. And thanks to everybody at Atco.